Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Freedom!
Now they're doing karate.
Freedom!
We must be Cobra Kai.
Freedom!
Yeah. Welcome to Freedom.
All right, here's what happened. We're talking about the show This Is Us.
Which I watch every week.
I've never seen.
But now they're covering coronavirus.
Now they're covering corona. Scott said, I thought you were going to say, Lauren said, now they're doing corona. And Scott said, I thought you said, now they're doing karate. And then we started very briefly riffing on the idea that I guess somehow the producers of This Is Us are thinking Cobra Kai is the most popular show on television.
We got to start doing karate on the show.
I would love it if every character on that had some justification for getting into karate.
What if that's how you figure out that's how they all know each other? I don't know how they, maybe they're a family or whatever, but they met at a dojo or something.
Definitely are a family.
But I like the first episode of This Is Us blew my mind, not to be dramatic. But I did, at the end of it, I went, oh my God.
Well, I still want to see it, so I don't want any spoilers.
Okay.
The first episode
is the best one.
Oh, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. I watch it backwards.
I just mean because there's a good twist and you're like, wow. But there's a lot of twists that come in. Sounds like my drink last night. Okay. And of course, Mandy Moore plays a 65-year-old or older.
What?
Okay. Oh my God, are you serious?
I don't know that.
Yeah, because
I don't know anything about it.
Time travel. You know,
don't tell me anything.
It's not time travel. It's just a story
they
about.
They slide back and forth in
time.
Yeah,
exactly.
Don't tell me
this. This was a few years ago after some Super Bowl a couple years ago. They hyped up like the season premiere of This Is Us.
Yeah, it was happening after it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they really hyped it up. And so they got all these people. That
Wasn't
never
there a
seen
fire
the show.
Or something?
Yeah. Okay. They got all these people that had never seen the show to watch it. And I've never seen the show, but watching people's reactions to it online, like, what is this?
Well, like, putting that after a Super Bowl makes no sense. Everyone's like, rah! And then you're like watching this.
Rah! Usually, like, they would have a football star, like, guest star on the show. Like,
you need something stupid on after
that.
Hey,
it's wide receiver. Like, I don't know.
Hey,
any names.
I heard you're very sensitive about your weight. Kids used to pick on me, too. And now look where I am.
Playing in the Super Bowl.
And maybe winning. They shoot it two ways.
Yeah.
When you guys watch the Super
guess
Bowl,
what? I won.
And we almost won.
And maybe I lost, but at least he doesn't want to jinx it, so he refuses to shoot that one.
When you watch the Super Bowl, do you go, roar!
Roar! Super Bowl!
I feel super!
Raw, raw.
Were you at my Super Bowl party? That was the last party that anyone ever went to.
And my dad was there, and we were just talking
about
that.
Your dad was there.
My dad says hi.
Hi, Jules.
Oh, hello to your dad.
And he wanted to talk to Kulop because he rode his bike across Laos. And
he rode his bike across Laos?
Yes.
And she has a bike now.
Do you think he's her dad?
It might be.
Oh, my God.
Case.
I have something to tell you.
That would be fascinating.
Kulop's third dad reveal.
That means you're my brother.
That would be a great conversation. They should have it on mic, on these very mics.
Oh, wow.
How about it?
I mean.
Wait, what if it's a new show about, and it's called I Rode My Bike Across, and we just talk to people that rode their bikes across anything. Laos, a high wire.
Hold on a second. The name of the show is I Rode My Bike Across.
Yes. Okay. And then a
All right.
space.
If you've ridden your bike across anything.
The Grand Canyon.
A squirrel that someone ran over.
Yes.
By the way, welcome to Freedom. I'm Scott.
Thank you. I'm Paul.
I'm Lauren.
And this is us. This truly
is us. This is us.
It can't be anyone else, you know?
It never would be anyone else.
Don't you think we have more of a claim to the phrase, this is us, than the TV show?
Yeah, seriously. We've been doing this show since they started.
But see, well, after they started.
But yes. Our catchphrase is...
way fewer episodes.
Is we be three.
Oh, we that's be right.
Three, that's
Lauren,
right.
Thank you. I did forget that.
Yeah. We you be gotta three. Get we that
three.
Right.
Okay, we be three. Also the Pretzel Gang, the Crocodile Crew, them Freedom Boys.
We also have our individual identities.
Oh, what's that?
Which I wrote down.
Hmm.
Oh, shit.
Can I ask a underwear? Question while you look for that?
Yeah, sure.
I was thinking about this on the way here because I have this Gatorade here and it's blue. And I don't love that it's blue.
Second time you've said blue on the show.
What else did I say blue?
Blew me away.
Why are you keeping,
this is
why
us.
Are you keeping track of the different ways I say blue?
That's my thing. I'm hoping the big one happens soon.
Like a very mild blue army blue hammer. I have one weird kink.
Oh my God. We got to talk about that. But
now
my
that,
question
now that
is,
everyone else has stopped.
I know. It's like, well, he's still doing whatever it is a month later. So so it has blue one in it. My question is, if we didn't put in any dye to these things, would they be like brown? And that's why we do it.
Any. Okay. So like, so the clear ones, you think they put clear dye in?
No.
So maybe they're clear.
But why do we go blue put, and it's like, well, what? Why do I need it to be blue? Can't you just. I'd rather it be clear.
Well.
It's to make it more enticing so you feel like it's something more than water.
It's doing
Isn't
something.
It something yes. where like there are foods in nature that are blue that it's supposed to remind you of like blueberries or
it
or
reminds me of zero G fruit.
You know what I mean?
I think it's a cold thing. It's supposed to be like
it probably
glacier.
It's called glacier freeze. It worked.
I nailed it. I burned.
Even though ice is clear, it's reflecting the ocean, so that's why it's blue.
The ice is reflecting the ocean in your freezer?
I mean, in nature, of course.
Ice isn't blue.
Wait, but the
you're talking about like glaciers.
No. Okay, no, the water is water. Right? The ocean is clear as well.
Yeah,
and it's reflecting the sky. That's what it is. So it's
sky famously blue.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
No, what is it?
He said blue.
Oh. I thought it was a reference, sky famously blue, that you were saying. Did
Isn't
you catch
it sad when you see a picture of a polar bear floating
I don't
on
care
a
if you
melting
say blue.
Ice cap,
it's all about
and it's just about to go die?
And it's like, hey,
he,
photographer,
he brings that
make a little room in your boat.
Why don't you give him a fish or something?
Well, what about
sad.
Teach a man to fish?
Well, teach a polar.
Teach a polar. That's,
polar
hey, that's a great
girls.
Show for Amy Polar. Yeah.
Teach right? a polar.
Teach a polar.
Teach me something
I
don't
know.
She picks one subject she has nothing, she has no knowledge of, like physics or I don't know. I'm not presuming that Amy Poehler doesn't know anything about physics.
There's no way,
I'm
dude.
I'm sure she knows a lot about it. All women do. Now, when did we start, all of us collectively as a country, caring that Nick Offerman makes things out of wood? Everyone suddenly was like, you know, he's a woodworker.
I guess.
Don't you feel like that was like 10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it was when Parks and Rec started.
Was that a thing on Parks and Rec?
No, I think it was a thing of they made it because it got popularized because like suddenly it was like, hey, here's this actor who's very funny on the show.
I mean, it's cool.
And it started being written about of like, here's a weird quirk. I mean, like what weird quirk do you have that people should write about?
I fart in my pillow before I go to bed.
Every night?
No. That's why it's weird.
That is, yeah. I was going to say.
It's unusual when you do.
I was going to say.
It's only six nights a week.
Not since Harrison Ford have we cared this much about an actor who can make a bookshelf.
Does he also make bookshelves?
He was a carpenter, was he not? Like
he
Jesus?
Was like
yeah.
our
himself?
Lord Jesus Christ.
I knew
right.
that.
Yeah, he would, when he was a struggling actor, he would do it for directors and
it's weird when you see, I know we've talked about this, but when you see someone like him pop up, like he's in Serpico as a cop with maybe one line.
Is he really?
Yeah, maybe one line or maybe he's just standing in a hallway.
I love when someone has one line that's like,
dude, that's Harrison Ford. I think if we're-
Why are you ignoring him?
Yeah, he's a major movie star.
That's fucking the guy from Star Wars going to be.
You should say, hi, Harrison Ford.
We should decide who movie stars are going to be and then- make sure they never do roles like that so it's not distracting in our
well,
movies.
Well, I just watched Die Hard for the first time.
Nice.
Congrats.
Is this for one of your
For my
shows?
Patreon, I did a watch-along if anyone wants
and
to
you were
sync
like,
up
the
and
guy from Moonlighting?
Well, I was confused because I was like, well, what did he do before this? Like, he's, what happened, you know? And then we kind of went
down. Who, the character or Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis, because okay.
He was Bruno, of course.
He was a bartender.
But for the
much like Jesus Christ, our Lord himself.
He was just like random little parts, like man who walks into the bar. Like literally his IMDb is that.
He had a lot of experience because he walked in one every night.
And then to go to work. He was on a show for 60 episodes right before Die Hard.
Moonlighting?
I don't think so. Is that a show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was something else.
Some walk by
well, regardless, night. I thought, oh, that makes sense. Some he did a thing. Because I was like, how do you become like such a huge star
Moonlighting
after strangers. Just being man who walked into the bar one time?
Well, he got on Moonlighting on pretty early in his career, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
And that made him a massive star.
Yes.
I'm going to scroll all the way back.
Lauren, this show was huge.
Moonlighting was a huge giant. Thing. Okay. It was like Lost, basically.
Holy shit!
Did you just watch an episode? We paused this show and you watched.
We paused it for 47
minutes.
Dude,
that part where it was like Lost.
But yeah, he was a huge part of the cultural conversation. And then he became a movie star with comedies like Blind Date and stuff. But Die Hard was the first time he had ever done an action thing. And people were like, really? This comedy guy is doing an action movie?
Okay. So people weren't on board. Well, it explained something because one of the trivia facts about the movie was that they took his picture off the poster because they thought people wouldn't want to see him.
Because, yeah, people just knew him as like this smirking kind of like funny guy.
That's so weird.
Who would like do rapid fire dialogue on Moonlighting.
Why they put up the original poster was Alexander Gudinov.
Sitting on top of that Nakatomi Tower. Almost like it had like... He'd been shoved up his butt. That flute video.
Oh
my
Jesus
God, I love that. It's a video of a man.
Christ.
This is real.
It's not real.
It's real.
I mean, yes, there is a video. That is real.
A man falls down the stairs. His recorder flute rolls off the console table and into his asshole, where it then makes the sound of a toot.
A beautiful, beautiful video. Just wonderful cinematography.
Who sent us that? Lauren did.
Lauren did, yes. Yeah. Of course.
Dave Ferguson retweeted it.
All right.
That's how it came to me.
Then our friend Tall John examined it like this, a Pruder film.
Yes, and
then
by frame.
And then he made his own. And he only sent it to me.
I would love to see a movie like JFK where John is like in a courtroom pointing two frames.
Everyone's like, why are you doing this?
No, we don't
like,
care.
We have no questions.
I'm not a judge.
I told you about what happened during JFK, right? When I watched that. There was a screaming kid in the movie.
Yes.
For the first, and it's 3 hours and 45 minutes or something, and just running up and down the aisle screaming.
3 hours
what?
And 45
for the first 3 hours.
No, that's when
it's
you
not
walk.
3 hours
no,
and 45
but,
minutes.
Let me look up the running
right,
time.
But that's also,
it's extremely long, but it's not almost 4 hours.
A kid was doing that in the movie theater. You walk out to the front and you go, you got to get this kid out of here. Yeah. You can't fucking
yes.
deal with
but
that.
But stitches shit. Get stitches.
I don't care. Give me some stitches. Get this thing out of here.
How many stitches could it be?
But I was, it's 3 hours, 26 minutes.
That's
sorry.
Too long.
Okay, so the for the
See?
First...
I would start yeah, screaming, great. Running down the aisle, too.
So for the first 3 hours, I was just trying to...
For the first 3 hours!
I was in the back, the second to last row.
Ooh, makeout row.
And these people were in the front row and baby... No, okay, Turned it was row. A family.
I'm
a
sorry,
mom,
why are they doing this?
It was a mom and her four kids.
Don't go to the
to
movie.
To learn about history.
We have to see the most boring movie for you yes. guys and ruin
well,
everyone's
that was back,
time.
That was back when Kevin Costner was like, you had to go see every Kevin Costner film because it was an
it was
event.
Illegal,
you know what I mean? Yes. In Joe Biden's America, maybe. But
you know what Kevin Costner put that hamster up his ass? I'm just mixing up him.
But so she so it was a woman, her screaming baby, and then her like two or three other screaming kids who were running up and down the aisles. But the baby was crying throughout.
This is so, the image of chaos.
Yes.
It's so amazing.
It was
during,
insanity.
During JFK.
Why?
But that said, she was way at the front and I was in the back and I was like, whatever, I'll deal with it. But annoyed, everyone annoyed. She finally, like, after 3 hours, right in the final act, half hour before it ends, she spanks her kids and goes, come on, we're getting out of here. And the baby's crying and she trudges up the aisle to take them out and everyone applauds. And unfortunately, the old woman right behind me in the back row applauds right as she passes her.
Oh, no.
And the woman, and I know I've told this story. I apologize to anyone who's heard it, but Lauren maybe hasn't heard it.
I don't think so. Paul has.
The woman turns to the old woman and goes, "You dare make fun of me when my kid has an attack of the shits?" And then open hand wallops her in the face.
What?
And the woman's going, "Henry, go get her." And her husband,
that's
like
crazy,
doesn't know what to do. And
I'm
so
O2.
runs out, and I'm laughing so fucking hard. And so then a half hour goes by, the movie finally ends, and I walk outside and the police are there, and the woman, I think, is in restraints.
And all this
it's just so like squalid and horrible.
Oh, amazing, amazing time
at
the movies.
Horrible. I miss the movie.
Until then, the balcony is closed.
Yes. Same theater, by the way, where I went to go see a different movie. I can't remember what it was. Juice, probably.
Which theater was this, Scott? I know you know.
The Azusa 6.
What the fuck is that?
Different screen, though. Maybe it wasn't
Lauren.
6.
Sorry.
Different screen. But we're sitting there.
Okay.
And there's this guy.
Different screen.
Now I can picture it.
There's this guy behind us who's like rocking back and forth in his seat and kind of muttering to himself. This is during the previews.
Mr. Jerkoff came to town.
and I say to my friend, "Hey, do you want to?" Or no, my friend says to me, because I don't notice it. He goes, "Hey, do you want to move?" And I go, "I like these seats. We're cool here." He goes, "There's a guy behind us who's acting weird." And he's like sort of going, and rocking him back and forth.
No, you can't even stay at that point. Honestly, that person's going to kill you.
And he's kicking the back of my friend's seat, which I didn't know because I didn't feel it. So I would have been like, "Oh, sure, let's move." He's kicking your seat. But this guy's just being a weirdo. It's the trailer for a certain movie that Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson are in. And Robert Redford. And
I actually have no idea.
Indecent Proposal.
Oh, okay,
well, that's the
that.
So finally, Robert Redford says to Demi Moore in the trailer, or he says to Woody Harrelson, "Can I sleep with your wife for $1 million? And the guy stands up in his seat and shouts, "An Indecent Proposal!" And then sits down.
Wow. So he just was waiting. I want to see that movie. Is that good?
No.
Oh, okay.
But Adrian Lyne.
Wow.
And this is right as we have stood up to move and we're like crouching and he shouts it like basically in our faces and we're like, frightened.
Oh my God.
Like,
was it Doug Benson?
Shouting that?
Yeah.
I would have thought that was funny if it had been him.
Absolutely. Do you think this guy, that's all he... It's the only thing he says. And then did he leave after that?
I wonder if it was a guy like us who was just being funny, but he was
alone.
He was alone. If he was with his friends, it would have been like, haha, all right, he's making his friends
laugh.
I'm
sorry, the shaking and kicking the seat and all that stuff adds another element.
I think he was titillated by the whole how indecent that proposal was. I mean, how
but
on
it sounds like he was also condemning it.
That's true. On a scale of decent to indecent, what do you think of that proposal?
To Lauren? Me?
Oh, I think it's okay.
Would you do it, first of all, if someone...
For a million bones and the guy is who?
Robert Redford in the 90s.
He's the one offering?
Yeah, he's Offerman,
husband.
Yeah.
I'm married to Woody Harrelson.
You're married to Nick Offerman.
I'm married to Nick Offerman, but Robert Redford wants to...
I can make you $1 million out of wood.
Doink me for $1 million.
No, you're married to your husband currently, but Robert Redford comes up to you...
Currently?
No.
Your current husband,
I'm
situation.
I'm saying, but currently Robert Redford...
No, not currently. 90s Robert Redford.
Not 90s years old?
He's a golden fox. He's not 90 years old.
He did look kind of old in the early 90s.
Yeah, Robert Redford said, "I will pay you $1 million to have
to
sex,
doink you,"
I'd go... Okay.
And he doesn't want Mike to watch, though.
Good. I don't think Mike would want to watch.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You don't think Mike would want to watch that?
$1 million? I want the money on the table.
Janie and I did an episode of the Big Ones podcast about that. It's a podcast where they discuss like moral dilemmas. But it's a comedy podcast. It's Amanda Lund and Maria Blasucci. And so...
I did that and I was talking about...
Yeah. Your episode was great. I really enjoyed it.
It was fun.
You guys went off on a tangent about donuts that was really enjoyable to listen to.
Oh, nice.
But we did. So the subject was the indecent proposal and what would you do and everything. And Janie and I almost got in an argument because she was seeing it
Janie
from
and
the.
I almost got into an argument.
She was sort of seeing it from the standpoint of who cares about the husband? This is her decision.
Oh, well, her body, her choice.
Yeah. And I was like, I get that part of it. But they
mentally,
are,
we
they
are married.
Married couple.
I think here's the thing about the proposal, and it is indecent. Absolutely.
It truly is.
It's an indecent proposal.
But
it's not something a decent person would ever propose to another decent
if
person.
If you and your husband get on the same page and you go, we're going to get this $1 million and then we're going to pay off, we're going to buy a house, we're going to do whatever, you know, whatever you want to do together with the money.
And they were. This is what they did in a movie.
And you go, let's forget this ever happened. Okay,
that's what they do in the movie.
Okay.
So she does it.
Now I do want to watch
it. They roll around in the money. They're in Vegas. They like put it out on the bed. This is where the trope of like rolling around in the money sort of comes from.
It started from that?
I can't think of it like another example of it on film before then.
That must have been a good idea.
They invented
I don't think
that.
They invented like people would talk about doing
it.
People
did it for sure.
But I don't think
anyone
ever
did it in life. No one ever captured it on film. No.
Yeah, it's a lot like porn.
Because it was too hard to get people. It was too hard to capture people doing it.
Right.
You know what it is?
In documentaries.
It's every time you try to do it, the money's not as much as you think it is. Like it doesn't really cover you.
Well, that's why Woody Harrelson was like,
it needs to be $1 million.
Can you pay us in ones? Was his the most famous line of the film.
I did this like I had a sketch.
We have one condition.
I had a sketch duo. A long time ago. And we wanted to take a picture where we were sitting in a
you
tub.
And Chris
sure, it'll last longer.
Yeah, we did it all on Snapchat. we wanted to take a picture, my friend and I, in a tub covered in candy, like all over us. And so we bought like what we thought was a ton of candy. Mm. And it was like, bloop, like it covered like nothing.
Like the bottom, like the just a layer.
It was,
on the
bottom. We put a blanket on ourselves to put the candy up. It still wasn't enough. And then someone just photoshopped it, of course, which is what we should have done the entire time.
You should have been naked in the tub together.
Yeah.
And then they just photoshopped candy on top of it.
Was it a funny picture? Were you happy with it?
It turned out good, yeah. I mean, it was our postcard, you know, to come see us at the Playground Theater.
The Playground Theater.
Oh, I wish I could have seen one of those. If I could go back in time, that's the one thing I would do.
That's so
that's
sad.
That's weird.
You'd be disappointed.
What else should I do in Chicago when I'm there? In what year is this?
This would be 2006. You should go drink. I mean, if you want to just do all the stuff I did, go
say hi to Barack Obama.
Go to like
quit smoking,
shitty,
like I
horrible
did.
Bars with a bunch of improvisers.
No thanks.
So,
well, in any case, Lauren, what I was going to say is they roll around in the money and they're all happy, but as you can expect, that's only halfway through the film.
It's going to get emotional.
Then Woody Harrelson can't take it. And so they fight all the time about it because he thinks that she was too flip about, you know, doing it and she doesn't love him enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's an architect. So he goes and he
designs a building that's like, I hate my wife.
It's like,
it spells it out.
I call it, I hate my wife Plaza.
But they break up and he goes and he gives a lecture about how every brick can be, every brick can be an amazing building. And it's just a brick now, but it could be a part of an amazing thing. And his students are like, whoa, you're fucking blowing my mind.
I like that.
I forgot the build you made of materials.
Yeah. And then I forget what happens after that. But
what? All right.
But they are, what's amazing about that movie, and I cannot remember if I've seen it or not, is that the way they get into such dire straits is they're so stupid. They're two stupid people.
Right.
They blow all their money, you know, with their business.
Saying blow so many times on this show.
God.
All three of us. I said
it
just
was
like.
Blue.
I was saying blue. And then they're like, okay, here's our plan. We're going to go to Vegas and gamble.
No.
And we're going to win.
We're going to win, yeah.
No.
It doesn't make any sense.
The idea of gambling that money is the dumbest thing.
Don't ever go to Vegas unless you have money to lose. That's the thing.
I go to
that's
Vegas,
true.
I will give myself a budget for gambling.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. And that you're fine with losing.
It's done. And that's just my play money. And it's fun because I will bet so low that I'll make it last hours and hours.
Exactly. Exactly. You're having a good time. That's what it's all about.
But you're not betting the same thing each hand or whatever.
I play roulette, which is just a random ass game. And it's like.
No, is it?
Some of the worst odds in Vegas. Anyway,
yeah, but I have,
always look to you like I'm pushing
always,
that button.
The worst thing is I always get to a point where I'm up like a lot. And I'm down and gone.
It's I once went to Vegas and I was doing the whole like bet.
The swingers thing.
Yeah, you know, what happens there.
I remember one part of that movie and it's something about an answering machine.
That's the best part of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
It's a good movie. But I was doing the thing where you bet on red each time and you just double your bet every time.
I heard different advice.
Oh,
I heard
from
bet
Wesley, your friend
my
Wesley
friend
Snipes.
Wesley Snipes.
But I was like, you know how.
I met him when I was the 56th passenger.
Wow.
You know how odd it is for it to be read like more than eight times in a row or something, you know?
Exactly.
So that's what you're basically betting on is like you bet $5 and then if it doesn't come up red, you bet 10 and then you bet 20, then you bet 40 and then you bet 80, 160, et cetera. And then finally, like it'll end up black and you win the original five back.
Here why I know like gamble.
Okay.
Math.
Ah,
lots of math.
Not fun.
But you know.
But the problem.
That's why I like roulette because you just go.
But this
I got
is
a pretty
this is
color
roulette.
Chip, and I just put it. Yeah, and I just put it on different numbers that mean something to me.
Right,
and then eventually it's going to work out.
69.
Yeah.
35 plus
missionary.
34.
35 plus 34. Do it all the time.
One is missionary.
One is missionary. Two is anal. 69 is 69.
Two is anal because it's number two.
Two is anal.
Three is diarrhea, unrelated.
Oh.
That I had heard. I think the 69 thing was based on like positions of the Kama Sutra or whatever. And then this is when I was a kid. And then finally, someone explained it to me. No, it's because the nine and the six are like opposites of each other, which is what you're.
It's
because
like the ball of the six is your nuts.
the ball of the six.
And the nine is the boobs.
Whoa, this is getting me hot. These numbers, maybe I do like math.
But I was going to say about the roulette thing, the problem is I did end up getting to a point where it was red or it was black 10 times in a row or something. And then you're just betting these insane.
Sounds like my friend Wesley knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, that's horrible.
But you're betting these insane amounts just trying to get your original five back. And then if it ever winds up on zero, that's the other thing. And it's just like.
Oh, double zero.
Green.
But technically, if you had a lot of money, you could just win $5 at a time. But it was like, this isn't even fun anymore. I'm just trying to win $5 at a time. And who cares?
I want to win thousands.
Yeah.
I want to have a big bucket of chips to walk around. Everybody sees me and they go, he's the mayor of chips.
I might have said this on the show at some point if we talked about gambling. But when Stephanie and Tig got married, all the guests, we stayed at this casino hotel.
Which one? Do you want to give them a shout out? Maybe they'll give us all the three of us free rooms.
No, I don't remember what it was called, but it was like.
I'd love to go to Vegas with you guys, with you two drips.
It wasn't Vegas. We would have a horrible time.
We would have a. Do you know what I want to do? Tell your story, and then I'll.
All I want to say is it was in Mississippi.
Am I SSISSIPPI?
Anyway, something like that. Yeah, Mississippi.
Because she's from Mississippi. Yeah. Tig is from Mississippi.
That's why it was there. And so that's why we stayed at this random hotel because it was
Hakalop.
Closest.
Hakalop.
Hi.
Is Lauren's dad your dad?
And the funnest thing was that all of us comedians all gambling together and screaming for each other. And
oh,
like,
wow, that's fun.
It was very, it was like Hanford and a lot of fun people.
Was it a craps table?
Susie Barrett. It
that's
was
always
roulette.
The most fun. Always roulette.
But we all had different colors. So we all got nicknames for our chip color. And then we were like, you know, just going crazy. And I remember Mike Hanford's were brown.
I went to Vegas with Hanford. And I taught like all the birthday boys how to play blackjack. And
oh my God. Can you imagine being a fly on the wall?
Oh, trying to educate them about anything?
Okay, idiots. You know what one is, right?
Missionary.
No, I went with all the Bang Bang writers for a trip in between one of our seasons or whatever. But I remember I was like, okay, this is how you play blackjack. And then within like 10 minutes, I think I had won like $700 or whatever. And they were
off
like,
of them.
Yeah. And they were like, whoa. And then I said, okay, I'm going to bed. And then I hear they played it all night for the next 7 hours or something.
That's fun. What were you going to say? If we went to Vegas, we would be so boring.
I've never seen one of those big shows.
Oh,
that's
they're
what
fun.
I want
to
do.
Oh, I would like to do that. I would like to go to Vegas and see like Cirque du Soleil or like something. Yeah. Really...
I'd see that shit, sure.
Yeah.
We saw Mystère, I think, was our first, me and Kulap was our first like Cirque du Soleil show we ever saw. It was really good there.
That one
and
seems
then,
satanic.
And then we took a cab. This is early in our dating relationship. We
so
took
she
a,
was 15?
We took a cab there. And
you
then,
explained how cabs work.
We pay him. He's forced to drive us. But then I saw, the cab ride wasn't all that long, I didn't think. And I could see our hotel in the distance. And I was like, let's just walk back. And she's in heels. I didn't think about this.
Oh my God. The worst
and
in Vegas. Oh my God.
We're
Who
walking
are you waving at?
One of these birds
squirrel.
Or squirrels. There
oh.
he is. And so the walk turned out to be like an hour, and she was
God.
So fucking mad at me. And by
that's
the
so Vegas,
you
by
have
the,
so many of these stories.
By the 35 minute mark, it was kind of like
you want
to get another
cab,
or whatever. You know, it was like, look, I was like, okay, we can.
Look,
stop.
We're only a half hour
look,
away
I
now.
I can still see it. It's still tiny, but I can see it. Oh my God, that's the worst ever, though.
That is a very Vegas thing, too.
I feel like in Vegas, like, the goal is to be as fucked up but functional as you can be. That's like the only way to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But I went there for like a bachelor party that was like co-ed a couple of years ago. Well, it was probably
cooperative
like,
educational.
It was probably like 5 years ago.
Wow.
But I feel like no matter how much weed I smoked, I was never stoned enough mm-hmm. for what was required of the to be in Vegas
in order to enjoy yourself.
Because I just think Vegas is really disgusting.
Yeah. It's I have a hard time getting that idea out of my head.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I feel like the shows would be more, please don't shit on me.
It's fun to see the shows. Like if you, please don't shit on me.
We went during that trip. We went to see Penn and Teller. I've definitely told you this story.
I don't remember.
When.
Oh, right.
Which one doesn't talk? Which
Teller.
One
doesn't? Teller. So Teller lost his voice.
Did they make
Teller,
you disappear?
Yeah. And he was literally going, hi, like, he was talking like that.
Penn was.
Oh, that's right. You said this on one of our last episodes.
How did we get back to this again?
I don't know.
Vegas, baby.
Usually Michael Jackson is their touchstone. How did we get back to Penn and Teller?
It's Penn not having a voice.
You know what? I'm not going to complain. If it switches, I'm not going to complain. And maybe I'll buy those glasses he was trying to sell.
Also, my cousin got married in Vegas a million years ago while I was like just in my early 20s. And that was really fun because
right.
she had Elvis at her wedding.
Right.
You know, it was the whole thing.
Yeah.
I talked about on the show about the wedding I went to with the guy getting married to someone for a green card. And we had to take a bunch of pictures.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the only wedding I've ever been to in Vegas. But it is like I know
someone who did that.
Oh, someone we all know?
Yeah. They Uh-oh. Have talked about it on a podcast, but I don't know if I want to blow it up in case it's not
yeah,
exactly.
Oh, hell no.
But they did that briefly. This man needed a green card and
man
offered to pay her to get married, and she needed money.
So, wait, who's the person we know? The woman
well,
or the man?
The woman.
Oh.
Hi, Kulap.
She's still up there? Can you imagine Kulap
She's
being
smudging.
Up there?
She's smudging up there.
But anyway, very fascinating. And then they never like lived together or anything. It was never like.
Right. They never consummated
yeah,
the marriage.
They never had to like have a relationship really. But
they didn't have to make a sex tape
but then it,
to prove to the government.
They got
Look,
divorced.
Here. Check this out.
Well, I didn't want to do this, but here's our sex tape.
I know. Isn't
I went to well? One Vegas wedding, which was Dave Foley's wedding to Christy Guerrero.
Oh.
Because he was in a bad marriage for a really long time. Could not get a divorce.
Right.
What do you
Finally,
mean?
Finally. She wouldn't, his former yeah. wife would not grant the divorce.
Wow.
And
they're two
finally,
nights up there in Canada.
That's horrible.
They're like, oh, you just work it out.
Can
eh?
You imagine someone saying no? You go, yeah.
They were living in different countries. It was wild.
Oh my God.
And so finally, he was able to get divorced and they immediately scheduled a wedding in Vegas. And so it was like a last minute thing. And a bunch of us went, yeah, it was really fun.
Did you go on a bus or did everyone make their...
We flew.
Ooh.
We flew.
That's the best because you're just in and you're out.
That's right. Then years go by.
Years go by.
They get divorced.
Very in Vegas? Sad.
But yeah, they went back. We all had to go back.
Watch them sign the papers.
Then more years go by.
Years go by.
They get back together.
Whoa.
Yes.
In Vegas?
Yes. All of these things happened in Vegas.
What happens in Vegas?
Because it stays
Ashton
there.
Kutcher.
I went to a friend of mine's bachelor party in Vegas where we took the party bus and, you know, big group of guys. And it was one of these. One of these things where it was like, you know, hey, we're going to do the typical Vegas bachelor party experience.
We're
going to
have steak, cigars, strippers.
And
we're going to murder a hooker.
So me and my friend, we're rooming together. And they say, hey, we went to a couple of strip clubs and it was boring or whatever. And so they go, hey, we're going to hire these strippers to come to one of our rooms and put on a show for us, like two strippers putting on a show for us.
I'm immediately uncomfortable.
Yes. I'm immediately hard.
So, so we go, okay, well, let us know. And then we never heard anything about it. And we go, oh, I guess it didn't happen. We went to sleep and we're the two people they forgot to tell.
Forgot?
Out of
or
how many
they
people?
Knew you would be like
50 or 60.
Oh my gonna... God.
They forgot to call us. And so the next day, the one good thing that came out of it was the next day they went around collecting for the stripper show. And we were like, you never called us. So we're not paying.
Well, that's good. But was this show like a vaudeville thing? Or
sure. All right. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic Raised Bed and Garden Soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
We're back!
And we are the Peacemaker, the Patchworker, and the Midnight Toker.
That's our nickname.
Which one am I?
You're the Midnight Toker.
I am!
Am I the Peacemaker?
You're the Patchmaker.
Oh, you're the Peacemaker the because you look like George Clooney in the 90s.
That's right. That's why I'm the Peacemaker.
You know, did we talk about George Clooney saying he uses a Flowbee to cut his own hair?
We haven't talked about this, but
we gotta.
Why not?
We should, because we've told the same other two stories.
Everyone can stop emailing us.
I just don't believe that.
I saw that too, and I also don't believe that.
I thought he was just lying.
Does he have it close to the head like his when he first started doing ER and he had the Caesar?
When he had the Kaiser? No.
The Kaiser Permanente.
The Kaiser roll?
That Kaiser was not
I
Permanente.
I love Kaiser rolls.
I just don't buy it at all. Because what is a flow? Why would a fucking trillion billionaire?
Because it's COVID. You're not gonna.
He wasn't saying it during COVID.
He was saying that he
he's
always.
He's saying he's always been doing that.
Well, tell me what a Flowbee does.
Well, I didn't really know
about
it.
Tell me what a Flowbee does.
Until he told me, but it's a tool that you like comb through your hair and it cuts it. And actually now there's this new tool.
Neither of you have seen this commercial?
No.
No.
But I've seen him do the Nescafe ones with Danny DeVito.
No.
Does Danny DeVito cut his hair with a Flowbee?
He's not in the commercial. That's a part of why it's even weirder. It's like, he's not like advertising this. It's an old product, right? I mean, like,
it's
I thought he was kidding, but the woman didn't get it. That's how I felt. And then I think he just goes, yeah, I do it. And then I just thought he was
in his like self-effacing way where he talks about how bad he was in Batman, even though like he's not the problem in Batman. The movie is the problem.
He's been bad in other things.
Yeah, but he, you know.
But he loves pranks.
That's the thing. I feel like we're being pranked.
Okay, now, but I kind of am curious about a Flowbee because Mike really needs a haircut and we cannot get one. And I feel like there's this new product that I saw this commercial for that was like something trim or whatever, Turbo Trim or some fucking shit. And it's like the same thing.
Hey, Turbo
apparently.
Trim, send us a Turbo Trim so we can test it out.
Yeah, and it's $30.
Come on, Turbo Trim.
Crocs, all the people who have been talking about Crocs are, the sales of Crocs are up during the pandemic because of us. Thank you for telling us.
Absolutely. We gave the Crocs
We're the Crocodile Crew, and you don't send us free Crocs?
Crocs, we
can't
put
believe
you on
I don't
map.
Even have Crocs right now.
The least it's, you could do is send Lauren her medicinal Crocs.
I don't have Crocs yet.
It's insanity. Okay, so TurboTax?
Something like that.
TurboTax, yeah.
And it looks like it
starring
would
John
actually
Travolta?
Do the job, but
the bolt.
I don't know. It's kind of like a safe way to kind of buzz your hair without going short.
It's like a vacuum thing. So it
vacuum. So it pulls it out of its roots?
It pulls it out of its roots. It's too powerful. It's a jet engine.
What? No, but vacuum technology, what would it be for?
I don't think
hair?
The one.
To
the
raise
new one
the hair
does.
So that it only cuts, it like trims it.
Interesting.
Yes.
Super weird.
I've been cutting my own hair. I've given myself now 2 haircuts since the pandemic, and I'm due for a third, as you can tell.
I just gave myself one.
You look
did
great.
Not do it. Well, put a lot of product in because it did not. It was
didn't come out well?
I trimmed my ends the other day because I have like all these split ends and it's all gross, but that's as far as I've gone. But I
that's
cut
split
Mike's
end
hair.
Song. That's why I cut
Mike's hair so long ago at the beginning of the pandemic, like day 2. And I did such a horrible job and it looked like such shit. Like the back was.
Was it that bad, really?
Honestly, yeah. The back was
why couldn't you cut his hair?
Crazy. Because
why
what I
you
did
good at it?
Because what I did, and I kind of knew immediately what I did wrong. Instead of like cutting like up into the hair, I kind of went like across. You know, these like weird lines. It looked so fucking ugly. And then we had someone come to our porch and cut our hair in July. And
is it someone with like super long scissors? And you have
we had masks and we were outside.
Right.
And she was fantastic, but it was pretty expensive. And then I was like, now I just paid all this money for us to have haircuts. We're not even going anywhere.
Yeah.
And then he hasn't had one since July. And
July.
Now
that was when I did my first one.
December.
January.
That's a long time.
That's a really long time
that's
for a man
to
not
time.
Have a haircut.
Well, how's he look though? Do you like it?
Well, he's had longish hair at some points. It's not horrible, but it's like it's just that thing of like you want to shape it as you're going if you're going to grow it out. And I like his hair shorter personally.
My hairstylist is always like, you have the ability to have long hair. Why not
the
have
the ability?
If you had long hair, I believe that would be a problem.
Your hair continues to grow. I can't imagine you.
What if you put it in a ponytail?
Oh no! You would be a different person.
My hair was, I will say, in the Red Hot Chili Peppers photos that
when
we took.
When you were in that?
for our one episode of Red Hot Chili Peppers, that is the longest my hair has been for 30 years. So you
happy
can
anniversary.
Kind of. Thank you. But that was, we took those like the day before I cut it in July when I saw you guys. I cut my hair for our special Jaws trip. But
wow.
But
I knew we would be sitting in a car.
So how do you do it? Do you put a mirror in
the bathroom?
The back?
Please don't speak.
Something. Please don't speak. The door is locked. You and me can I take you to a restaurant that's got glass tables? Do you have any idea what we're singing right now?
No.
God damn it, you
great
need your
song.
Own person here.
I know a lot of what you guys talk about.
No, I'm not saying it's a fault of yours. I'm saying you need.
I do, because you know, actually somebody mentioned I saw a comment that somebody mentioned that they thought this was like a weird comment. I I made a reference you guys didn't get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they thought I didn't get that I even made it.
Whoa, Inception.
And then I went, what do you think? I'm just saying full lyrics to a song and no one gets it. And I don't know that I'm saying that. I said it's a rare condition in this day and age. Okay. Which is
oh, awesome,
I
don't know what that is. Right?
No.
Is it's it a TV theme song or something?
This day and age,
no
to
idea.
Read any good news.
Family Matters?
Paper page. Love and tradition of the grand design. Some people
don't
say
know.
It's even harder to find.
Punky Brewster.
Full House. But it does sound like Family
Full
Matters.
Full House.
There's a huge crossover with Family Matters with the theme songs, and I actually mix them up all the time.
Yes.
But I said that. No one reacted. I didn't care. I didn't go, that's from that. It was just whatever.
Exactly.
And someone's is like, it, did she even know she said it?
It's interesting that everyone has.
I do that all the time.
It's like, who cares?
Everyone has like a cultural blind spot of.
Not me, man.
Of whatever like children's shows were on from the age of when they were like 18.
You shouldn't know.
Until they have kids.
You don't need
you know
to
what
know.
I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that.
I'm sure there's a million things I don't know. But if you want to hear Blossom.
Sure, I do.
Okay. Piano goes like this. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Don't know about the future. That's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed. Fire up your pen and paper. I'll give you a piece of my mind.
What does this have to do? Who is Blossom?
Because if I... Opinion Nation. The sun is going to surely shine. Diddle-diddle. Maya Bialik.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but like, who is she in the show?
She's the daughter. She's the main. She's her dad.
She's
the single
head.
Dad because the mom.
But what does pen and paper have to do with her story?
It's just a fun song and she just dances. So have you seen the theme? She's like, it's all mm-hmm. white background and her dad's playing piano. And then she's like dancing around and like doing all these little, and her outfit changes all the time. And she's like,
sounds awesome.
And
it's
that's
terrifying.
And now Call Me Cat is Blossom grown up and now she wants to be called Cat. No, I'm just kidding. But that's my Mind Dog's new show.
Oh, I see.
Did you see Blossom in Dog Day Afternoon? Mayim Bialik?
Mayim Bialik? Mayim Bialik.
Hakuna Matata?
Hakuna.
Dog Day Afternoon.
She's just an extra in the courtroom.
That's interesting. I don't believe you, but she was in Beaches as a child, so I don't believe she'd be an extra.
Beaches get Steeches.
She played the young Bette Midler, is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's another movie I've never seen. There are like
that's
weird,
a nice movie.
There are a bunch of movies I've never seen because they came out and I was like, ugh, that's too commercial. And I turned my nose up at them. And,
sure, man. And you're cool. You're a cool guy.
I'm a cool guy.
You're so
guy.
Indie.
Are you familiar with the television show 8 is Enough?
Yes, I am. And now there was, that was a spinoff, wasn't it? Because the coach was actually on Growing Pains.
No.
Okay, now wait. Okay, now 8 is Enough. Who's that?
Oh.
Let me look it up.
8 is Enough was
with Dick Van Patten?
Yeah, let me look it up.
Are you familiar with Betty Buckley? Are you familiar with Grant Goodeve?
Broadway star Betty Buckley.
That's right. Are you familiar with Willie Ames?
Yes, I am, because he was on Charles in Charge.
Yes,
are you
that familiar was his with show before then.
Adam Rich.
Okay, this show
are
doesn't really
with
ring
the
bells
girls?
To me.
8 is enough to fill our house with love.
Our lives. It's
oh,
a beautiful
lives.
Song. Oh, we spend our days like bright and shiny new dimes. If
I always love shows
trouble,
with like so many kids.
Did I talk during Blossom?
Wow. You could have.
I wouldn't dream of it. I wanted to hear that beautiful song.
I was practically begging for you to.
She was pleading with her eyes.
Lauren is feeling herself. I'm going to let her run with this.
I'm feeling myself.
go ahead.
No.
Well, it is enough.
Stand
was like,
up.
I'm not going to sing this song in pieces. The dumb theme
walk
song.
Into the pool in your suit singing that song.
Fingers crossed.
He walks in, submerges, never comes up.
Bye, guys.
Up.
I don't know what I would do. I honestly
don't know what I would do.
I think I would run into the pool and try to get you.
That's what I'd hope you would do.
8 is Enough is one of those shows that back in the like Brady Bunch.
I don't know what I would do.
Where back
but
in
I,
the
I'm not. I don't know that I could save you.
No, you couldn't.
It'd be too late.
Once I make my mind
save
up.
Save him from what? He's like him doing it to himself?
Yeah, like if he was, what would you do? Seriously.
If he was like, I want to die now, and just walked into the pool in his suit and then like attached, you know, weights to himself or something?
No, he just kind of puts.
Please stop me at the weights.
Those things are heavy. I don't know whether I could get you or not.
So you go into the workout room, you grab 25-pound weights that you hold on each arm, and you slowly.
No, I just hold them.
Yeah, he can't hold them. He's got to like strap them.
No, and then what happens is your head is down in the pool, but your feet are floating to the top, but you're holding onto the weight, so it's keeping you down.
He straps them to his shoes.
I have an elegant solution.
That's easier, I guess.
I have an elegant solution.
Instead of floating like Mario in water.
Elegant balloons.
I get down in there, right?
Get down in there.
And I put the bar of the weight on the back of my neck.
That'll kill you.
So that my head is like down there. And then it's awkward. I can't get the weight off.
Okay. You're not,
but you don't want to.
But I don't want to, exactly.
Well, no,
and
you.
At that
you,
point,
this
I
can't, is
the
thing grim,
about, the
guys.
Thing about
see,
the
at that
weights.
Point, Scott, I can't lift that weight at that point. So at that point, I'm just going screaming.
The thing about
for
the
help.
Weights is the will to survive always supersedes the desire not to. So that's why you
that's
have,
why
to,
I have to do the weights.
You no, but you can't just hold the weights. You have to like make them like where you can't get them off when
that's
you wildly
I'm trying,
thrash
that's,
them
that's
out.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I put it on the back of my neck.
This is grim. But I think it's funnier if you don't have any weights at all. You just decide to walk into the pool.
I like that too. And then for some reason the pool keeps getting deeper and deeper, and you're just walking. There's like a whole set of stairs we can't see, and you just keep going
taking
down.
You to Hades below.
Oh, Hades. I get on there and see Persephone.
Oh my God.
Orpheus Rising.
Such a good show.
That was a real fun show.
Hadestown, I was sobbing. I loved it.
I loved it.
I loved it so much.
I was there. I saw that show.
What? Oh, fuck you.
I saw that show in New York when I was there to do some shows in Brooklyn.
Weren't you there to do a certain television show as well? Or no, that was when we were there.
I've been to New York more than once.
Wow.
The big city?
You're so metropolitan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't you miss traveling? Oh my fucking God.
I kind of do.
I really do.
Do you know what? Bob Seger came on the shuffle the other night, and it made me nostalgic for the tour.
Yeah. I miss going everywhere.
Yep. Me too.
So you went to see Hadestown.
And I was with Tawny Newsom, Eugene Cordero, Janet Varney. We saw the show. We saw Hadestown, and then we were on our way to the Bell House in Brooklyn to do our show. And we were in an Uber and got in a car accident.
Oh, we've talked about
this. A taxi plowed into us. It was the weirdest thing.
You think you're in a taxi, you're safe. And that nothing can happen to you because paying for it.
But see, we're setting it up, so I have to tell the same story I told. Which is that my gym teacher
and
in
Scott,
high school.
You get to tell one story you've told me.
I'll talk about Penn
and
Teller.
And didn't have a seatbelt on, and they stopped short, and she slammed her face into the partition.
Jesus.
And lost teeth.
Is that what the Beyonce song Partition is about?
Yes. It's about my gym teacher.
I thought they knew that song was Partition.
I thought it was.
All right. So when Lauren went to Vegas, she saw Penn and Teller.
Oh my God. And he couldn't even
talk. And Teller doesn't talk, but Penn couldn't talk either. And his voice was like,
it was honestly, I know I'm kidding by retelling.
I'm telling the story.
No, honestly, we're all kidding. But he was like, how would you go out?
Have you ever been so sick that you have you ever been really sick where you're like, should we cancel this show? And then
yes,
like in my opinion, should he have canceled? But
look,
they
I would
lose
have been,
a lot of money.
I would have been disappointed,
do.
And honestly, I was thrilled to watch what I saw.
Okay,
the way he was trying to talk through it was hilarious, and I was high, so it was wonderful.
But so Paul, when
I think if I was there
jealous.
With like
I
kids,
I
think
that.
It would have been bad.
When were you so sick that you should have canceled the show, but you went ahead?
Oh, stand-up gigs. There were stand-up gigs where I was under the weather, and you know, because you're the only person, you know, like there have been improv shows or things where I've dropped out of, or stand-up lineups that,
yeah,
it was like right. I can't do that tonight. But yeah, there is. I've never been able. I don't think I have. I don't think I've ever been able to say, wow, I am too sick to even go do that show. I have to, I have to make a call to somebody to say refund people's money or whatever.
Right.
I don't think so.
I've been there. First of all, I should have canceled the first Comedy Bang Bang tour after I broke my foot
here
3 days in,
we go.
According to my orthopedist. But he was like, they gave you a walking boot and you've been walking around across the country on it. Like you're
that's crazy.
Because you told me you were Johnny Appleseed.
But I couldn't I couldn't believe in Amy Schumer's documentary how she went on tour while she had hyperemesis shivardum or whatever it is, where she was, which is morning sickness essentially. But she was she was pregnant and she was vomiting profusely the entire pregnancy, trying to do these shows. She went on tour across the country.
But one of my Bang Bang shows in San Diego, I was so sick that we had to call like a hotel doctor to come. Give me a shot and all this kind of stuff. And I still went up that night and did a show. It's very, I don't know.
That's because that's that desperate need inside you to connect.
No, no, the whole refunding people's.
No, it sounds too hard. It's too much.
I know you could, and I could call up my agent and go, hey, I can't make it to the. It just sounds like such a bummer for all involved.
No, I agree.
But there were several times on tour, Paul, where like you weren't responding to texts or phone calls.
We thought you died maybe three times on tour.
and where I was like,
honestly,
what?
Because we had the hotel call you. And then like, because we couldn't get through to you.
I remember because I had that one time where my brilliant plan backfired.
Well,
on
that
us.
One, yeah. But I think there were three.
There were three separate times where in my
and
head I was
went,
like,
oh no, Paul's like, dead and I don't know what I'm going to do.
I was calculating.
No.
Who can I call to fly out to replace him?
That's psychotic.
Different thoughts.
I was so worried. I was like, something's wrong. But then the third time I thought, okay, now he's just asleep.
Now this is just a thing. But yeah, there were a couple
I'm
of times
sorry,
where
I didn't
like,
realize I was causing such panic. I apologize.
It was a slow panic that was like,
the longer
could this possibly be what I think? Because I always think everyone died basically instantly anyway.
Like, well, yeah. like
as soon as you don't see them anymore.
Yeah, well, like,
well, that person's dead.
Okay, something horrible happened.
No, sorry, you're dead.
Like if I'm waiting for someone and they're late or, you know, whatever, anything like
no,
that.
No, anytime Kulop comes downstairs maybe 15 minutes later than she usually does, I'm like, oh, for Christ's sake, I hope it's not happening.
Janie thinks I'm dead all the time.
Janie thinks I'm dead all the time.
That's horrible. I always
Are
think
you
Mike's,
coming back around
I think
on
Mike's
it?
Dead all the time
no,
too, though.
No.
I really
Here's
do.
Here's the thing. I'm fucked because I can't say my wife. And I can't say Janie.
You can't say anything.
Partner?
But I think Mike's dead.
She'll come up with something.
She should change her name.
I'm talking about the same thing you're talking about.
Okay.
I can only say it so many times that I think Mike's dead a lot.
Right.
But it's terrifying when someone's sleeping really late or something, and then you're like.
But Janie's also, if people don't respond to her text within 30 seconds, she's like, why is this person not writing me back?
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? You don't know what they're doing.
But I will have that about, with a text, I'll be like, they hate me. They're mad at me. They hate that I texted that.
I will
There's
say.
There's some sort of problem there.
But how much time do you let elapse?
Hours. Like, I mean, I think like if it gets to be hours and I go, I'll remember, oh, that person never wrote me back. And then I'll think.
This is minutes. Janie, a popular text of Janie's is, are you getting these texts?
I will say that I think we've, you know.
We've been one room apart for a year.
Right. We've had so much like
so
unexpected tragedy in our lives that now our brains are sort of like, oh shit, is this happening? And
yeah,
like my parents, like the other day I got a text from my sister saying like, are you guys in China? And I said, what? Why? And she says, well, mom thinks you're in China because she hasn't talked to you in so long and she heard you were going to China. So
China.
She assumed you were in China and not responding. And I said, well, I talked to her 2 days ago and we've never said we're going to China. But other than that, yeah.
China. It's so random, especially right now.
Yeah, very weird.
China's more random than ever.
Going to China is
China's
the most random,
random
thing you could possibly do right now.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch body plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
All right, we're back, and it's time for a three-cher, and this one has been submitted by Made This For LMAM. I don't know who LMAM is, but thank you for making that for her or him. This is called Mission Statements.
Or it. It might be like a supercomputer.
That's right. It might be a chair.
it's not a chair.
Okay, they call this game Mission Statements. Someone is given a word and makes a company name from those letters. Example, cat equals creating actual turmoil. And the other two ask them questions regarding the business and decide if they'll invest in the company.
I like this.
Who wants to go first? Paul, you like it, so as you like it, the immortal bard. You get it. Lauren, do you want to give Paul a word?
Yes.
Probably a short one to start.
Probably.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Your word is palm.
Thank you.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you for, welcome. Oh, we're coming to see you. I'm sorry. I thought this was our office. I got very confused.
No. I had my office designed to look exactly like yours.
Wow. And I blindfolded him when we were on the way here, so he didn't know if we were driving
Thank you for playing along.
Why did you tell me this was a great surprise? I mean, this is just an investor meeting.
Isn't it interesting how it looks like our office?
It's going to be a surprise party.
Oh, no.
Are you planning a surprise party for me? Because you know today is my birthday.
Happy birthday. Look, I've made you a cake that looks just like your cake at home.
Oh my God, this looks exactly like my cake at home.
Yes, I took pictures of your home cake.
Wait, so you
this is to 9/10 scale,
I'm
though.
Sorry.
That's right.
Dale.
I didn't have all the ingredients.
Dale, you already had a cake
a lack
at
of
home.
Well, I had to use less of everything.
Okay, I get it.
You already had a cake at home.
So you had all the ingredients.
So
you just had less
don't
of
need
yes,
me.
Thank you.
Okay,
that's a better way to
I'm
put
sorry.
It.
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, forget it.
No, Sheila, please stay.
He already had a cake at home, yet he's begging for a surprise party. You have everything you need.
Happy birthday, Gail. Now look.
Dale.
Yes?
It's right here on the cake. Happy birthday, Dale.
Oh, my name's Dale.
Oh my God, Dale twins.
I thought your name was Gail.
Well, why did you put Dale
wait,
on
so
the
did
cake?
Did you make this cake?
I was signing the cake.
Oh, I see the comma here. Yes. Happy birthday, comma.
Well, it
Dale.
Could still make That's sense right. if it said happy birthday, comma, Dale, and it was for Dale.
Well,
it's a,
it
In
works
fact,
out then.
Cakes happy, should have a comma.
Happy accident.
All right. Well, I'm a little disappointed that I've just been taken to a replica of our office for my big surprise.
Oh.
I'm but, sorry. I didn't.
You're not a little impressed?
I mean.
Just to be very clear, Dale and I are not in a relationship, and his expectations of me are far and beyond what they should be for
well,
a coworker.
Well, I think coworkers
That's
can
too bad,
give each other.
Because I ship you.
Especially, though, if a coworker comes up to another coworker and says, I have a great surprise for you. I'm going to blindfold you and take you to a surprise location
well,
on their birthday.
But, Dale, you don't even know what's going to happen here. This Dale wants to tell us about something very interesting.
No, I'm like Sherlock Holmes, though. I've already seen that he has investor portfolios there on his desk. I know
You're
what
also
this is.
That insane pipe.
Yep. And the weird hat with
I
the flaps.
That, I think the hat makes sense. It's cold.
Yeah. It's well, freezing in here. Why is it?
Dale, Sheila, I'd like to welcome you to a very exciting investment opportunity.
Okay.
I have a company that is going to change the world.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
See?
What am I holding up here? What is this part of my hand?
The fingers, the
nope.
thumb.
The
fat
part.
Skin.
It's hard to hold
the
up.
Fat skin.
I have to say, it's hard to hold up part of your hand. You usually have to hold up the whole thing.
I'm doing my best here, Dale.
You can't hold up, you know, your thumb. Well, I guess you could hold up your thumb like Fonzie and not hold up the other parts of it. But what am I trying to say?
Fonzie didn't invent holding up a thumb, by the way. The part with all
Who
the
did?
Lines
The guys
on
in Gladiator?
It.
Fonzie's thing was rolling around in money.
He loved it. He thought it was...
And when Ron Howard first filmed that, he sometimes would film the episode.
The part of my hand with all the crisscrossing lines that tell my future.
Oh.
Your palm.
The palm. My palm.
Now, this palm that I am going to introduce you to is not the flat, liney part of the hand. No. It is an acronym that stands for Parrots Always Laughing Maniacally.
Parrots always laughing maniacally. Amazing. This sounds like an incredible business opportunity.
Well,
I mean,
first of all, I always think parrots are too quiet.
I've always said that. It's like, yeah, you can talk about stuff, but, you know, I don't know your emotions. I don't know if you're happy. I don't know if you're sad.
Here's the thing about parrots is that they don't speak when you want them to. They are withholding.
Yes.
Frigid bitches. But when a parrot does laugh, it feels terrible. You feel mocked by a member of the animal kingdom.
Laughing at us?
Parrots are always laughing at us.
Okay, not near us.
This is what I am proposing. A service where you would send, let's say, 50 dozen parrots.
Okay, so we're talking 600
parrots? 12 is this, and then you carry the zero and 600.
You did the math. And then we dispatch them to the world's leaders, 50 dozen at a time.
Okay.
There they go now.
So every world leader gets one parrot apiece?
No. Every world leader gets 50 dozen parrots.
They get 600 parrots apiece.
600 parrots apiece.
I love that show.
Is that what you're is this a Broadway show you're pitching?
Well, eventually it will be, of course.
Okay.
They fly to the leaders.
I've been to New York twice.
What? How?
Well, the first time was for a job, and the second time was for leisure.
Oh,
okay. What'd you do in the leisure time?
Both possibilities.
I literally saw every Broadway show
that has ever
been made.
Wow.
In all of time.
Incredible.
Do you want to hear
really
about that?
I want you to list them.
Okay. Porgy and Bess.
The earliest Broadway show.
Is this an order of your seeing them?
This is an order of my recollection.
Oh, fair enough.
Oh, sure.
Cats.
So you didn't remember anything else before
Hamilton. Mean Girls. Billy Elliot.
I thought you were going to say Eilish.
Not a Broadway show.
She should be
Hades
a Broadway
Town.
Show.
She will be.
Kinky Boots. Annie.
Get Your Gun? Or just
Oklahoma.
Proper? Oh.
Dare I continue?
I don't think
which version of Oklahoma did you see? The one where they serve
chili?
It was
in the round.
I have to say, once I went to New York with some friends and I said, hey, should we go see that Oklahoma? And the whole chili aspect of it seemed to turn them off.
Yes. I understand what that friend was talking about.
Do you really want to go see a Broadway show and be farting the entire time? And the entire audience is farting?
And everyone has to eat chili to get in?
Although...
That was the price of admission.
Although I did go see Sweeney Todd, where they made meat pies, and it was wonderful.
Sure.
You know, do you have a food that goes along with your pitch?
Well,
this is a good question.
Do you want to hear that? At first, you want to hear the full pitch.
Or do you want to hear the rest of my list?
We didn't hear the full pitch?
No. I somehow didn't get to it.
Huh. Weird. I wonder how. All right, go ahead.
Rent.
Are you still talking about the shows, or are you reminding
Dream
me that we have
Girls.
To? Oh, okay. I think she's still talking about the shows that she saw. Or she might be talking about girls that she's dreaming of.
Go on.
Oh. The parrots perch directly outside the residence of each world leader
and they begin laughing, laughing maniacally. The world leaders have no choice but to take it personally because it sounds personal.
Whoa.
I love this.
This is so good.
I love this.
They have to talk to each other.
So this is like a military weapon you're pitching us. And why are you pitching us? Because, you know, we're realtors.
It's not a military weapon.
I've got a condo in Studio City that would be perfect for
you. Yeah, I'd love to get you in
there. I don't know that show. Is that like How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying?
Yeah, it was 1967. It was
all those titles were so long.
It's kind of off Broadway, and you know, it didn't survive past 10.
The idea is that previews. Once all the world leaders are suffering the exact same fate, the world has no choice but to unite in peace.
I love this idea.
I love it.
Now, the condo.
And the reason I'm pitching it to two realtors is. Realtors need to have a good name again after the Capitol insurrection.
Oh, thank you. Because of that one who said she was a realtor as she got on the plane.
She said it so many times.
Right.
You're
she really wanted people to know she was a realtor.
So you think that if you sold this to us, then we could take it all the way up to the top through the chain of the Pentagon.
Two realtors who are, well,
pro-USA.
You engage me to do this and you get the credit.
Oh, I love this.
All I get is free tickets to Broadway shows.
Which one do you want to see?
All of them that have ever been created.
So I've got to pay for all of these or get my hands on free tickets somehow?
But we would get credit.
That's up to you.
This sounds like a good deal.
Dale.
Credit for something?
Yes.
Dale. Other Dale.
That's priceless.
Dale.
Yes. Who's Other Dale? Wait, you. I'm relegated to Other Dale now?
Sorry, it's my office. Him. You're Other Dale.
Other Dale, I think that... Kate
doesn't say happy birthday, Other Dale.
I don't
know. No!
Think
it says happy birthday, comma, Dale.
That's right. I'm Dale.
All right.
I'll do it. I'll do it because I hate to see you fight.
Thank you.
It's like you
Let's
fighting
kiss
with-
and make up.
Oh.
Is this my surprise? I'll pay you $1 million to fuck.
That's an indecent proposal.
All right, and scene.
Yay.
I think that, should we do more of it or that may be it for this episode?
I think that feels like a lot.
That feels like a lot. All right, that's it for this episode. That's it for this episode. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Maybe we'll play that again.
Maybe we will.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Crocs, send us Crocs.
Send us Crocs. Post Malone, send us Crocs.
All right. Bye.
Send me Crocs.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic Raised Bed and Garden Soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.